Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to play for you a tune that I call Black Man's Cry.
One, two, three.
For all blessings great and small, and welcome to the listening audience for a next episode of True Talks with Ofe Ofe. I'd like to say I'm very pleased and happy today that, you know, the day has been a very cool and calm day, no running around, no hustle and bustle, none of these things. And we always got to give thanks for all things when things turn out cool in the day, considering the chaos that's in the world. So here on this episode of True Talks, we're going to be working with the energies of Oshun in Odu, Odi, Ogbe. And to help us along with some of these lessons that come with Odi, Ogbe, we have our Ia's on the line. Ia Fayomi, are you on the line with
Hello.
Us now? Aburu Aboye. Ashe, how are you feeling today? How are you?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
Very good, thank you. It's a cool day, raining and everything, but feeling well. You know, as usual, when you come on, you know, I would like to entreat on you to say an opening prayer for us before we get into the meat of our topic.
Okay.
If you please. I
say. Well, since the subject is on Oshun, let me do something for Oshun, too.
I say.
Oregeye Oshun. Oh, reye yo shumoro. Oh, reye yo sorgiri o mio. Ya mi pelio. A mi leo lao dio. Yoro mi pelio. A loyo yo. O minio. O fa o. Eri o. O mi la leri. O bao sa ti ni glo bebe. A tori ni tiko su ne she. O ba ni nuibu. O bon di ni she. Abia Motiji, Lord Jumo, Arisha Taru Minti, your Woro. A Reye Yoshun, a Reye Yoshun, a Reye Yoshun. A Wadi Shalabade, Lore Bobo, Tiomo, eh, Lope. Ashe.
Ashe. Aha, Ashe Adupeo, Ashe, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much. That is a very, very good oration, and I know Oshun's energy is all up in the place. I feel it right now where I am, through distance and time and through the electric wires. Yes, through the satellite, everything. I am feeling it. Give thanks to Yeye Oshun. You know, when we talk about Oshun, we are talking about such an expansive energy, which all women are daughters of Oshun. That's what I say. No matter if your Orisha is some other Orisha, because Oshun has that divine energy that drives life itself.
Asher.
That pushes life and brings life into the world. Oshun is just magnificent. Oshun is known as the deity of wealth. She's known as the deity of power, and most particularly of the deity of femininity. I want to make mention how Oshun is called in a poem that was written by none other than Iya Fayomi, entitled Oshun Wuji Solagbade. Am I correct?
That's it. That's absolutely true.
Ashe. And that basically translates to the wealthy one captures a crown, right?
Absolutely.
Ashe. So I don't know if I can do it justice, but I'm going to try and, you know, read the poem to the best of my ability. And but listening for the messages that you have in the poem is the key thing that I want to focus on in reference to Oshun's energy. Because in looking at the poem itself, you know, we are telling how women, how Oshun got women to be involved in Ifa.
Absolutely.
That's what the poem brings to mind to me when I read it the first time. I'm like, look at this. And it's a message from Oshetora. Am I correct?
Right. It was inspired by
Ashe. 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 Okay. So let me see if I could put on my cool and calm voice for this one. Okay, the hidden by the blindness of Male Iramale sight, they choose hardly to ever see the glories of these spiritual women chosen by Olodumare's prophetic light. Silently she walked amongst these male energies, her beauty hidden from their eyes, never to be included, always to be denied. Whenever she spoke, even to her husband, about the affairs of Aye and mankind, these men spoke as if she was not there. Her smile hid her pain, and while she made her plan. Swollen with child by the deity of wisdom, her heart was not made of stone. She walked by the river of Oshobo to think out a plan for her chosen throne. She was sent to do a task, yet Olodumare purposely did not tell these men who their leader was, to test to see if they had bias or even true prophetic sight. Oshun Ewuji Solagbade, were they worthy of sharing Olodumare's might? She was given Ashe quietly in the dawn of time, when humans lived in Orun, with no place to develop and grow, no place to learn lessons for their sins. Self-imposed nonsense was what they implanted in their minds. Their Iramale's ignorance was their true crime. She was given the assignment to find this place. Oshun, Oshun, Ewuji, Solagbade, making it habitable for mankind. Oshun, knowing that her task was urgent, she needed assistance to complete the process of formulating, creating, and procreating the essence of life in the earth. The problem the male Iramale were causing was harming humankind and themselves. Their ego would not let them see the arrogance in which they now dwell. Oshun heard the children of Orun calling for her aid. Ipen Obinrin, Ajo Ewi Mare Oshun, Majemo Aye Ojo Leli Ori, most powerful mother, they said, who can burn a person, spirit of the river, don't let them dance evil on my head. So by the quiet of the night, in the heart of the storm, she calls the first congregation of women. Yamia Shorunga of Isalaye was born. Let's stop here. That is a lot. That is a mouthful right there. So, yeah,
absolutely.
Can you take the reins and explain that part of the poem and what the deeper meaning of it is for us women? Thank you.
Was given permission by Oludumar
when
she left, and she left her. She was pregnant, and she had been so disrespected, so marginalized, not only by the male Irumile, but by others, that she was given permission from Oludumar to form and become the leader of Yamion Soronga, and
mm-hmm.
to be able to cause disruption on the earth, because the job that they were supposed to do, they did not do. The job to procreate and the job to create earth, to make it habitable for the Arumile as well as for human beings, they had not done that. And they did not include her plans or anything that she said. It was like, oh, you're just a woman. And so
mm-hmm.
she left. And when she left the women of Ishalaye to destroy the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And they destroyed everything. And nobody could stop them, not one Irumile. So they all gathered together to go
mm-hmm.
back to heaven to find out what the problem was. And when they got there, the one thing Oludumar asked them, where is the woman? And
mm-hmm.
they didn't know.
Mm.
And that's where the rest of the poem comes in, is that they couldn't
mm-hmm.
even, they tried to platicate, they tried to pat her on the head like a dog, you know. It's like, oh, baby, 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 it's going to be all right. You know, we'll do what you say. And all the time not even choosing to.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
this is when we start to understand the true importance of Oshun. She not only
yes.
is that deity of wealth, but she is that deity of harmony, of being
Ashe.
Able to put things together, to take a comb and comb out generations of issues that we have in our psyche. She's
mm-hmm.
able to do that placing together of energy to create
mm-hmm.
balance. That was her job. And that's,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but the
mm-hmm.
whole idea of her going to that earth
mm-hmm.
and
so in the end, the male Iramole had to offer to Oshun restitution and sacrifice for ignoring her, for not including her in the plans before
mm-hmm.
things actually got smooth. And this is where, you know, when we women endeavor, we women in Ifa and Orisha life, when we endeavor to do anything to make it work properly, this is the same thing that we have to do. I want to make mention here a passage from the book, Oshun, Oshun Segese, The Elegant Deity of Wealth, Power, and Femininity by Deidre Badijo. It says on page 3 of the book, the great mother Oshun demands initiation and advises them, meaning the male Iramale, to initiate all women like her as compensation for their actions. In the introductory oriki cited in the book, and the allusion was that Oshun's power is so awesome and it's so enhanced that it nurtures everybody. It's for everybody, not just for males alone. It's also for females. And that as ruler and warrior, this praises that the Meli Ramole have to give to Oshun is the compensation, part of the compensation for not including her as well as all women, in the mechanisms of Ifa and Orisha life and what goes on in the world, what is going on in the world. Because without the feminine principle, there would be no world. So the Ariki symbolizes that Oshun is also, you know, this powerful, wealthy, sensual, as well as sagacious woman. Okay? She's not just the sweet, you know, how people look at Oshun sometimes in this general format that she's so sweet and so sweet. But like you say in your poem, there's this other side of Oshun that comes to...
The warrior side.
Yes, that comes to set things straight and makes things right. And she does it in such a way in her aspect of dealing with the mothers, the great mothers, okay? So,
absolutely.
Oshun, Yame Ashurunga, yes. So, she does it in that way. And this, of course, many of us know, it's this very powerful energy that is out there that is neither good nor bad. It's just an equalizer, like a balancer of things. So I would like now to, there are a few people online. Nobody has raised their hand to speak, but if you like to speak, you can just press 1, and if you want to ask a question, you can press 1, and I'll be sure to answer your call as soon as possible. So in regards to Oshun and women in the diaspora and women in Africa, we've been for a long time, the same thing that Oshun fought for in the very beginning with the male Iwamale is the same thing that women right now are standing up for. Women in Ifa, particularly the Iyanfas, have taken the lead in terms of going and getting the initiation that Oshun demands, studying and coming together now, not just to on behalf of women, but to save the whole of humanity.
Absolutely.
You see, if the women don't put forth that energy to organize and come together, then, you know, we will stay in a state of constant stagnation, where we would not be able to reap the benefits that Ifa has promised to us, whether in your individual odus as a collect or as of a collective race of people or a collective group of people. And I could say race of people because, you know, in Ifa, we have all races. We're just the race of Ifa. You know, that is a good way to look at it. Yeah, which race are you from? I'm from the Ifa race. So, in so doing, yes. And so, in so doing, we want to empower our women, entreat our women to come together. You know, people always say we don't come together, you know. I know the mothers are there on the line listening, the females, the initiates, non-initiates, women in general. People who are not yet into either Orisha or Ifa are listening to this show. And the men think that we cannot come together because it's always a disagreement where we're not in one accord. We are always fighting over different things. But now is not the time to fight ourselves for wherever it's their status, our position, or anything. Now is the time for us to start doing things together collectively and systematically, collaboratively. So we can help save ourselves from all the impending things that Ifa say is coming at us through the Odu Odi Ogbe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So one way that Yefayomi mentioned, which I think is the beginning of everything, is true worship. So I'd like you, Iya, to, you know, elaborate a little bit more. What do you mean by worship? What do you actually mean?
I'm talking about, when I talk about worship, I'm talking about a daily walk with Ifa and Orisha, that our behavior, our character, we embrace our destiny. But worship also means to come together and facilitate celebration of prayer, songs, and testimony in Ifa, the finding of Ifa's word for our daily walk, because usually that comes with some temples. What they do, and I know what we've done for our temple, have been to we will do Dafa, we will do the Ebo, we will do all of that, and then on a specific day we will sit down with our members and we will talk about what Ifa says in a sermon form, and to let them know exactly what they need to do for the following week according to Ifa. So we're living our lives according to Ifa in worship. We need to uplift each other. We need to talk with each other and facilitate worship. If not, it leaves an emptiness, a hole in us that says there's something missing, there's something wrong. It's not political. It is spiritual. And when we don't, that it is emptiness that comes within us and keeps us from enjoying the fruits of our labor, because we don't have that means to connect to what the Orisha have told us to do and to help us to and to guide us during the course of this week or, you know, or weeks that have followed. This is the Odu for the year, and we were blessed to get verses and directives from this. There are some people in our community that would feel that this isn't for everyone, but it is for everyone. It is for the world, and it's conducted out of Okage. And when they do this, this tells you what is going to happen in the world. It tells you what you need to do. We also have to follow our own Ifas, our own personal Ifas. And so 17 days after that is cast, each temple and each Babalawo, each Iyanifa should sit down and do Dafa or have Dafa done so that they'll know what their year is going to look like. This is the power of Ifa, and this is the power of worship. This is what takes you. And you know by steps that when you, if you come in E-Ray, you do the elbow to enhance that E-Ray for the entire year. If you're coming in Iyewo, you're going to turn that around and have that. But it also lets you know that it's not, you know, this is Ifa's way of telling you more than any E-Ray, that it has you. It has you covered. It has your back covered. Has your front, your right, your left, underneath and above covered, so that you know how to walk in this world and you know before things happen what's going to take place in your life, and you can live accordingly and prevent tragedies from happening, or you'll know when goodness is coming through your door and you await it. You have patience.
We know each of us that, you know, we have these personal responsibilities to ourselves. But, you know, many of us don't ever think that we have a responsibility to each other, not just, you know, after ourselves. Of course, there's our family, our blood family, then our spiritual family. And we could extend it even to the community and extend it out where we could extend it to per house, you know, in terms of ELAs, the way how here in the diaspora many of the houses are structured, you know, from house to house. So we feel that, you know, it's just us, and many of us just get personal. We do our own personal things. A lot of Orisha devotees, they're alone. They're alone, you see? And because they're alone, they tend to not feel like, you know, they could go here and there asking anybody to do anything. Sometimes they get refused. Sometimes people don't want to help them or tell them anything. And sometimes they don't even know how to ask for help. Sometimes they come off in the wrong way asking for help. Mm-hmm. So what can we as like the practitioners in Ifa, the female awards, the Olorisha priests, and, you know, other females who, and, you know, the healers, what can we do to begin to help all these other people that are out there to come to, you know, to start drawing in, to get closer to Mama, to Oshun's energy?
There are a number of things that can be done. And more often than not, that people can look at Orisha in nature. They can, prayer is, you know, as we know, prayer is talking to the deities, Orisha, Oludumare. And meditation is also, okay, so we also have meditation in our tradition. And what's necessary when you're alone, and whether you have Orisha or not, you have, and your Ori is the one that is able to give you access to all these other energies. You can pray to your head. If you don't have any Orisha whatsoever, you don't have any of the icons, you can pray. If you have no icons and you're near a river for Oshun, you can go to a river. You can pray over a river. You can give offerings. You can pray to the earth. So many ways to have access to this divine energy. And the bottom line is that even if you just hold your head and preach, you know, speak to your Ori. Hold your head and pray to your head. And ask him to guide you to where you will be able to get this energy within you. Prayer does a number of wonderful things to you. It's very powerful. And when you're praying from your heart, sometimes you don't always know the language, or you don't always know a specific prayer. But if you pray from your heart, because there's many Oriki that are really from the heart of a person. And so you want to pray with everything that's within you. Open up your heart. Sometimes if it breaks open, let it break open. And allow yourself to just feel. Feel everything in your heart. You know, sometimes I'm in here weeks at a time by myself. And fortunately, I have all Orisha here. And that maybe, just maybe, I don't want to go through a traditional prayer. I just need to talk to my mother or speak to Yami, you know. I need to speak to Baba me so they know what's on my heart. And I guarantee that every time that I have ever done that, things change immediately.
Yes. Someone has raised their hand, and I'd like to key them in, you know, to have something to say. But before I do that, you know, when we look at the state of the world and the state of our children, you know, Oshun is very instrumental in molding the way our children are, you know, having respect for women, having respect for motherhood, having respect for older people, have just, you know, Oshun is very instrumental in that. Her energy is there. When the minute mother starts to, you know, feed the baby from the breast, that is it right there. So we have our children being influenced by so many different type of things. So many different forces are influencing our children. And in essence, these things are actually killing our children. So if we don't come together for at least not for ourselves, but come together for our children's sake, this is the point that we have to look at in terms of, you know, who am I leaving behind? You know, who is going to walk in my footsteps? Who is going to understand and carry on the beauty of our wonderful way of life? Who is going to carry this on? Who is going to live it? Who is going to hold the torch after I'm gone? Who is going to honor me in death? You know, these are some of the things that parents, you know, need to think about. You know, as mothers, we have so many mothers that are heading their household, and the mothers always would have something to say. So these are things that we think about when we start to think about coming together and doing things together. Let me bring on our caller. Caller 340-344.
Oh, hello.
Are you on the line?
Alafia.
Shalafia ni. This is.
I didn't have a question. I just want to say that I truly and truly enjoy the topic, and I also want to remind you that I sent you a text on the email. For the diaspora.
Okay.
Did you get it?
Okay. Email.
It's Ifa Orisha Diaspora Resources at gmail.com. That you can let the listeners know so when they can be able to get further information.
Okay. So there's a what kind of information? Can you explain to us what kind of you're presenting a resource, right? It's a resource?
I'm not really presenting a resource, but there will be a resource for all of the children, for the diaspora. The goal is that where they can go and get information on upcoming events, classes, opportunities to donate for the goal of having a place where people can go to worship Ifa, to also where we can raise money for initiations for people who don't have it. Y'all talked about having one day a place where senior citizens can go. And so this is a resource where all the wonderful babalaos and I don't know the proper name.
So
of
you
the
see,
lady that's talking.
I understand you and I'm with you on the page. I just want the audience to kind of be clear that, you know, when we talk about organizing ourselves, okay, everybody comes to the dinner table with something to put on the table. In other words, whatever it is that you, as a Yanfa, a Babalawo, a Olorisha, a Babalorisha, are doing and can do and have to offer, not just for people that have a need, but also for people who have scales and whatever it is that you're offering. We're trying to collect the information so we can disseminate it around to those in need. So when you go to, what is the name of the website?
Well, the site is not up at this moment, but what we're asking for people that are listening is to send us an email so that we can have your email to communicate with you.
Excuse me? I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry. What we are asking is that you go to and send us an email so that we can have your email. With that email, we'll disseminate the other information as it come along, like, you know, the grand opening of the website and other events that are happening, because I am hoping that soon you
two lovely ladies who are talking will do classes, because I have a couple of name of classes that I'm interested in taking, and I'm quite sure other people.
Yes, yes. Fayomi and myself have been talking about that, and even to set up something online and possibly on this show. But it will be soon. So what is the email address that people can email into?
The email address is ifaorishadiasporaresources@gmail.com.
And is that Orisha with H or no?
Yes, it's let me, do you mind if I spell it out? Because it's quite lengthy.
No, go ahead.
It's Ifa, I-F-A, Orisha, O-R-I-S-H-A, Diaspora,
mm-hmm.
Sources at gmail.com. Ah, that's a mouthful.
And that's for resources. Okay. Okay. Ifa Orisha Diaspora Resources
mm-hmm.
at gmail.com, right?
Right. And the goal is that everybody
mm-hmm.
will go to the website, enter their information, and that soon people will go there to look for someone to help them with readings, to look for information of where classes is happening on the different Orishas, or, you know, we really have to get into the fundraising, because more people need initiations. More people don't know, I don't know the beginnings of how do you start to go about getting your initiations. So we're hoping to have a one-stop source of a website, a community-based kind of thing. There'll also be a blog that I'm hoping you would, be the leader of the blog. But so, I mean, it'll be a wonderful place to be where people can just get information.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And would you like to say your name for the audience so they can know? And, you know, can anybody contact you if they need further clarification? They can message you at a number or anything?
No. But, I mean, of course you have to know my name. My name is Freya. Of course you can know my name is Freya. But really, I am just right now, I'm not the lead in this. I'm hoping you ladies would be. My only particular goal at this point is to just set up the house so that
Fayomi?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yafayumi. That's what I was. Sorry, excuse me, Yafayumi.
Mm-hmm.
Please forgive me. That you, mm-hmm. Yafayumi, this is a way for y'all to disseminate information to a broader scale, a broader audience.
We appreciate it.
Y'all can both
okay.
be able to have blogs there. Y'all can be
mm-hmm.
able to, Yafayumi, and wherever you are, you might have classes you want to give and you want people to go. I also have it set up where y'all can have an email, where people can go to an email for you at the Ifa Orisha Diaspora Resources.org. You know, this is the gold. And I'm doing this because I really believe that we can use it, and it'll be a wonderful stepping ground for all of us.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So, Fayomi, do you have any comments?
Not on that. I thank her for the information.
Okay. So what I'm happy about is that, you know, we have young people that is, you know, endeavoring to do things to help us all come together. And, of course, you know, because we have the Internet at our disposal, we have the Internet at our disposal, and many people can communicate that way. We have email, we have blogging, we have this and that. Even though we do have a large proportion of people who do not use the Internet for one reason or the other, but
right.
it's a perfect tool for us to begin to at least gather our information, get our resources together, and see what all of us can do and what we also need at the same time. And it's also a way for us to be able to commune together, do things in large groups together, such as a teaching project or whatever it is that we're doing. And being that we're dispersed around the world, we're all over the place. We're not all in one centralized place. But even though we're not all in one centralized place, that's no need for us to stop us from coming together under one accord, under one mind set, and that's to push our way of life forward and to make it more easier for all the other people, especially for our young people that are coming up.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Glad to hear from them, too.
Yes, yes, yes. I wish more young people would call in and have, you know, and I guess after, you know, if the momentum picks up and we have these, people, you know, giving their resources, calling in and saying what they can do and what they're doing and what they're needing at the time, that this is how, you know, women operate in the marketplace. You know, this is how, Oshun as a businesswoman, this is how she operates. She just put all the eggs in the basket like, okay, you got this. Okay, boom, check. You got this. Boom, boom, check. And you go around and make sure all our bases are covered, that all our needs can be met, because this is what IFA promises us.
Absolutely.
IFA promises us, and, you know, of course, we do EBO for everything. We do EBO for everything. So if we want success with any project that we're putting forward, you know, even if it means coming together, the EBO has to be done. The sacrifice has to be done. Okay?
Well, I also now, add directives to that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Add directives to it. We do DAFA, EBO, and directives, because it's in
yes.
the body of the directives that gives us the guidelines of what
mm-hmm.
we're supposed to do. Because if we're supposed mm-hmm. to have good character, then you got to know how to. You got to know the steps, you know. So if you don't have, if he's telling you, well, you know, you got to watch lying today, or you got to watch doing harm to another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not in good character. Then we
mm-hmm.
all, he also gives you the steps in how to do so,
mm-hmm.
and how to walk it, and what to do. So we have the elbow, but we also got to do the directives too.
I agree. That's very important, you know. So, you know, in our discussion on this topic in the group, Ifa Orisha Egun Talks on Facebook, one of the main points that were made in terms of someone asked a very valid question. They were looking for someone to teach them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, when it comes to people looking for people to train them or teach them, you know, there are steps, there are protocols, there's just rules of engagement, rules about the relationship between the teacher and the student. And in our way of life, there is no different in terms of rules, what kind of rules that we set down in order to facilitate learning, okay? So,
totally right.
So we're talking about establishing or getting people to understand what are certain protocols in beginning to deal or worship Orisha, because we're going back to the fundamentals, and the fundamental is worship. This is how we're going to come together. Because from the worship, everything else expands from there.
That it does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think so that each house, each temple, each organization engages
mm-hmm.
differently too, depending upon their leadership.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And as people are, that's why I said it's always good for those who are trying to find a good house, to become very prayerful and in a way where they actually can meditate on where they should go. What are they looking for now in this? Are they looking for peace? Are they looking for healing? Are they looking for a way of life, a cultural dynamic? What are they actually looking for? And I think those are things that people actually have to start asking themselves, because a lot of times they come to a place to learn a specific thing, and that person or that house may not have what they need or what they're actually looking for. So that's something that we also have to give directions, because that's why so many people come to places like Facebook for information and get so disappointed, because they end up finding other things, politicism and other kinds of stuff, rather than the worship. Or sometimes the worship gets drowned out, or information gets drowned out. Because other voices are talking.
It's very difficult to stick with the idea of worship, especially on a Facebook page where everybody thinks that they're entitled to have their opinion.
This is a tradition that's monarchy. This tradition is a monarchy. It is not individualistic. It's a communal tradition, and people in the diaspora are coming from individualistic society, and they're trying to superimpose their individual ideals onto a communal religion. And by them doing so, they come into a lot of conflict. This is about community. This tradition is solely about community. Community and culture. Culture is everything in this tradition. And when we start talking about culture, we talk about religion, spirituality, philosophy, literature, art, foods, clothing. All of that is what makes culture and helps to define culture, all those different components. So when they come into that and they're coming in with an I mentality, an I mind, then they run into bigger problems, because then they don't understand why these rules are sitting there for them to have to obey, and they've never had to obey anybody other than mom and daddy. So that's, that becomes an issue. So what is it that you want when you come through the door of someone's house? Have a good idea. Do you want to know how to worship Eshu? Do you know how you want to learn how to obtain this icon and have this particular Risha in your life helping you with every step of the way of your daily life? Do I need to learn how to communicate with that icon? Because if it's not doing anything but sitting at the front door, it's not doing nothing for me if I don't know how to communicate with it. So we have to teach how to communicate with the deities. That's why we throw Obi. That's why people go through priest training to learn how to Dafa, to learn how to do Eredi Logun. It's not air readings. It's understanding what that icon is saying. And it's saying it through specific signatures. And those are things that we have to teach people how to do. But a person also has a responsibility of knowing something about the tradition that they're entering into, so that they can ask them specific questions. Can you teach me how to cast Obi? Can you teach me how to acquire this particular icon? Can you show me how to pray? Those are things that they should be coming in the door with.
Yes.
Do I need to know songs to sing to Eshu and all the Orisha? Are there specific prayers? How am I supposed to behave? Do I do ballet to you, or do I bow to you? Do I not bow to you? What's the protocol? Mm-hmm. And if so, why am I doing it?
Yes.
Okay, because if you want to ask, why are you bowing? You know, I've had people look at me crazy, and, you know, when I've had people, you know, I come up to somebody, see me, and next thing, they're on the ground, and people look at me like they're crazy. But the bottom line is that's part of my culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's my culture.
Yes.
You know, but they're not bowing to me. They're bowing to the Orisha that I represent and living in.
That's what people need to understand. Mm-hmm.
It's not to me. It is to this Orisha. Mm-hmm. These Orisha that are walking with me through my initiations to them.
Ashe.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And, you know, it's great because a lot of people need to understand. If someone has raised their hand, and I'd like to bring them on and see what questions they have for us tonight. One moment. 340-277. Good evening. You're on True Talks with Ofe Ofe.
Good evening. Ashe, I'm calling from the Virgin Islands. I'm calling to find out what the discussion is about tonight.
Is about Oshun, which is the deity of femininity, the deity of wealth, and the deity of power. And Oshun is also the defender of women and women's rights, Nifa. So we're talking about how women can use the energy of Oshun to come together and help not only other women, but also the males, our children, and our older people that are walking this way of life, and even other people who are not. So this is the essence of our discussion tonight. Do you have a particular question about that, other than that?
I didn't understand what you said, that's why. And
okay.
I heard you say, but you got caught up. Is it involved with men also or just for women?
No, it's involved with men also, but we're talking about the feminine deity. We're talking about the principle of one of the deities, the most powerful deity in regards to women's rights, which is Oshun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is what we're talking about.
I don't really think I have no question tonight, but I'll call back again the next time when I'm more informed, when I'm listening more. But right now I'm not listening. I called thinking I could be of some part of it by asking question, but I'll do that the next time.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. Okay.
Okay, thank you also.
All right, continue to listen to the show. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we know that the men are listening as well, you know. And, you know, mm-hmm. we always have to say for the record that, you know, when the men see the women organizing, especially here in the Odu of the year that came out, Odiogbe, Ifa cautions men not to try to interfere with what the women are doing, like to halt their progress. But if you're going to do anything as a man to help the woman, help us to push forward our agendas, not to try to hold us back as, you know, keep us out of the thick of things. So if there are things that the brothers are out there doing that they know would be beneficial to women, you know, you're welcome to come on. You're welcome to dial up any one of us and say, listen, sister, this is going on in Ifa or the Risha community that would be beneficial to you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we're entreating our brothers to share their knowledge. Those of you who have already grown to the point that you are, you know, I like to say full Babalawo, but you know the work of Babalawo or Awo continues for a lifetime because nobody can ever know all the verses of Ifa in their head. No one alive. so, you know, we live and we learn, we live and we learn. But those things that you already have learned, you can impart these lessons onto the sisters, okay? But we also have the duty of learning on our own, and we want to, in the process of learning, we want to also teach, because you can be a teacher and a student at the same time. Okay.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Always, always.
I think that it's, you know, Oshun has both male and female priests. If we're talking about that, but we're also in Edie Bamey, you want to also look at something else that was important in that Odu for us, which is another Orisha outside of Oshun, which is Arukuya Yegun Odi Usa, which is Orisha Oke. And her role in saving the life of Arumula is critical for us to understand, and for women to understand that this was a Yanifa, and this Yanifa did Dafa for Arumula himself when he had others to Dafa, and they, in turn, were not giving him the corrected information. He thought from their input that he was going to die, where it was Orisha Oke who proved to him that that was not the case and that he was actually going to receive a serious title during the course of this year and that he would have detractors. And so it was also extraordinarily important for women to get from Edie Bamey this year that there are extremely powerful women deities and women, and your role in this is to do better, be better, and to study well the rituals, the rites. Those who are priests, who are supposed to be priests, they need to study and study just like anyone else.
Okay.
And to be hungry for Esau.
Okay. Can you repeat who is this deity that you're speaking of now?
Okay. Aruko ya legun odi usa. And that's Orisha Oke.
Orisha
Oke.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, she is
just
one of the other deities.
There, that is not Orisha Oko, is Orisha Oke.
Okay. Orisha Oke. Orisha Usa Oke. Okay. And she's honored highly in Yoruba land. And she's a very powerful deity. Here, what I'm saying is that as we study, we're getting more and more information about who Yanifa, who this position, a priesthood, why it's so important, and why it's so important for women to really understand it, really get into the heart of it, and practice it with everything they got. Because we're the healers, too. We heal. We're the Oshun heals with the Awe pot, with the cool waters. Well, if you don't know the chant to bring the water alive to heal the person as a priest, then what you doing? There is studies to do, and you will be able to do that if you do that. And this is something that's important for women to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to sit back and not do the work.
Mm-hmm.
We have to actually do the work and not wait for others to do it for us. I think that is a better message for what we're doing in the priesthood, for women in the priesthood now, is that we have to go and do our job. And our job is as healers. We're to heal the heads of many. And so in order to do that, we have to know the rites and rituals. We need to know the herbs, the Awe. We need to know the properties of that Awe. We need to know if it's a bark or is it a root. We need to know, can we put this herb, this leaf with this other leaf, and that it won't kill someone, that it will actually heal a particular cancer, or it will heal a particular cough or cold, whatever. We need to know how to do this, and we won't know unless we get in here and do the work, ask the questions, you know, and don't wait for somebody to hand it to you. We don't, you know, and we didn't wait for others to do it for us, for our freedom here in this country. So why are we waiting now in our in the one thing in our religious tradition that means the most to us is our relationship with Ola Dumare and Ifa and Orisha?
Ashe, yes, because even here, this passage says, since humanity, human continuity is the central key for both Orisha and Enyan, human beings, it is imperative that the human being have a continuous relationship in order to keep that going, in order to draw the powers that the Orishas use or have to help us along in our daily lives. We have to keep that continuous worship going, the continuous learning, the continuous worship going, so we can see the real benefits. It's very easy in the world that we live in today to get distracted from the aspect of worship. You know, like how the Christians do. They do every Sunday, and then the other 6 days is for, you know, the slave master. You know, you go to work, you make money, blah, 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 blah. So the Christians have set aside their day that they go and do their worship. And in some ways, it helps them. It fortifies them to continue doing what they're doing and to keep their conviction going. But with us, you know, we every day is our worship day. Every day is our worship day. And it doesn't have to be.
Even for other religiosity, you know, I think all of us have this same mindset that if you are keeping in step with that religion and the affirmations and other things from that it gets better. For us, I think that we need to know how, or that it is permissible, you know, because too often,
a lot of people get a lot of not knowing.
It's a lot of not knowing, and it's not knowing in an era and a time where it shouldn't be. We have too many other avenues. There's Skype, there's the internet, there's, you know, the libraries have so much information just on Ifa. Academia has Ifa and Orisha information everywhere. Okay? You know, I think that it's important for us to, you know, to make ourselves available of that. And if anything, for them to know, hey, let me find a prayer. I think I came in this tradition when the internet hadn't even been invented. So, you know, with that in mind, I had to learn how to, you know, figure it out, get the information. And people weren't always so willing, because a lot of times people don't want to say what they don't know. And in the 60s and 70s, there were people who knew, but there were some really stringent protocols about what you could ask and what you couldn't ask, and steps that you had to take to get from point A to point B. Okay? And, you know, now I understand it far, far better, because at the end of the day, it taught me discipline, which is something that I don't see much of anymore. It also taught me respect of my elders and respect of the Orisha, you know, a reverence for Orisha, because being able to have, and here's a word that I don't hear too much, faith. Yeah, that is a word that we need to incorporate in everything we do. If you don't believe and have faith in this, then it here again, just like worship leaves you with an empty hole, this makes the hole deeper because what are you attaching? You know, if Oshun tells you that she's about to bring you, you know, healing in your body, and you don't believe, it just takes a little bit longer. It's going to get done.
I want to mention something here. I'd like to mention something. You know, you're talking, and I'm feeling the energy so strong that my eyes are teary right now. And you see, that has a lot to do with what you mentioned about faith. I know as a young girl growing up, you know, I was made to go to church, you know, in Christianity. And a lot of times I would get whoopings because I wouldn't go, you know, I would just stay outside and never go. And then, you know, they came up with the idea of Sunday school. So, you know, I used to go to Sunday school. Sunday school used to be fun, you know, as well as, you know, informative in a way, how they would help the children to learn the Bible and everything better. But at Sunday school, they would always have the part where you go up to testify that you're saved and all of this stuff, right? So I would always go up. I would always go up. I mean, every Sunday I would go up. So that, but the pastor never stopped me from going up, but he always asked me, why you go up every Sunday? I said, because I'm waiting to feel what it feels like to be saved. Right? So the only time, and this is a testimony, that I felt what it really meant to be saved was when I went through the Ocha and crowned Oshun.
Yeah.
I felt it. I felt it. And it was a sea of tears that wet my whole top down. And everybody in the room was crying. It was very emotional. And I felt it true and true and true and true and true, like if something came into my body. And then that's what I equate with being saved. You see? So we have, yes. And now is a testimony, too, that that spirit has never left. It is still there. Because I'm feeling the same way right now, you see? So all of these things are, you know, what people have to have their own conviction as to where they want to take their life, how they want their life to elevate, how they want their lives to connect with Orisha. This is your own personal responsibility.
Absolutely, it is personal. You know, that I have to look at it, y'all, and I appreciate what you're saying because my name means Ifa saved me. Ifa Yomi means Ifa saved me. And everything that has ever happened, that was the crown for my experience. You know, when I came into this, I was a kid. I was like 14. And in coming, you know, to this and having experiences like the temple that I came to in 1965 was called Elay Fay on the south side of Chicago on 31st and South Park. And that's where I was marked for Shango and other things. But what happened was, I'm a kid, I'm a runaway from home, and I'm staying at the temple, and a fire broke out in the building, and I was there alone, and I'll never forget the spirit that woke me up and said, get out. And all I could see was around me and a light. And I followed the light, and I got out, and the building burned down, and it's not even there anymore. But that was my walk of every time something ever happened to me, Ifa and Orisha saved me. And that's what faith is built upon. My faith is built upon the experiences that I have had, that every
I know,
time,
and people don't know, you know. I'm really emotional, but people don't know how, you know, what Orisha really do for you. That people just don't know. And if they really know, they'll humble themselves. When the elders are trying to show them something, you know, when they come to approach Orisha, they wouldn't be as aggressive in their approach, you know, and show respect to that person who is carrying that Orisha crown on their head. You see? People, the young people need to understand that, you know.
And some of the elders, too.
And some of the elders, too. Yeah.
Many people have forgotten the goodness and the great and the awesome power that is within this. They have forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And it has become so politicized. But here it is. This is what Oshun gives us. Oshun gives us insight. She gives us so much insight into our own psyche that it gives us ability to see other things, other realms, and to heal from that. Healing from just cool water. Praying over water that will wash your body clean of disease. That's what Oshun does. Washing your psyche out of the hurt and pain of emotional illnesses. That's what Oshun does. You know, she feeds so many and brings laughter, joy. We hear too much about the hurt and the pain, but she brings joy, you know, and progress in your life. And this is her promise this year to her daughter. We're going to lift you up this year. We're going to help you. But our responsibility is through our faith to walk and do the work that she has us to do. That's what's important.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, we are already organized in other, you know, with other things and other organizations and stuff like that. We got that. We know how to do that. We teaching our children. Our children are dying out here on the streets of Chicago
every day,
and
every
in Missouri
day.
And other places, in Florida, everywhere. We got testimonies of mothers crying.
Yes.
And it's a time where mothers need to stop crying and roll your sleeves up, you know, and take the Oshun in this shows us what strength looks like. She is a deity of wonderment, you know, and we need to walk on that. That's our promise this year, that we, you know, we had an Odu that came in Ayewo this year, and the Ayewo is in Ija fight. The fight's not with us. It's not our fight. Oludumare and Ifa turned the situation around. So, yeah,
that's
came
right.
in fight and stay. They chased it away. They took the fires of heaven and burnt Ija away from us.
That's
it's
right.
a cross. So it is no fight. Have no argument with anybody. And my faith is what's going to walk me through life every day. And that's what Ifa is telling us. That it's got a job. You know your job. You've been given it in your odus, in your directives, in everything you do. Just do your work. And be proud of your work. Don't do any harm to another human being. Lift another human being up. Pray for somebody else besides yourself. Pray. Do good. Feed somebody else. Have you ask anybody as a child, do I ask my elders, have you fed somebody? Are you eating today? Are you hungry today? Do I need to go get you some food? Matter of fact, mm-hmm. now that I'm not even going, let me come bring you a bag of groceries.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Oshun would make me do.
I share.
So, I help mm-hmm. you today. That's what we do. And
mm-hmm.
these are things that we need to understand and learn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's about
people.
That power
yes.
washing through
so,
us.
I share. So when people come, you know, towards the Orisha, towards this way of life, with Orisha, with Ifa, you know, you come, a lot of us come very ignorant. We come very ignorant of what really the whole immensity of it is all about. And then as we go along, if you are humbled in any way by the experience of it, if you get even a little spark of what it really means, the whole entirety of it, in order to have this big responsibility to care for all of life, you know, this is the whole thing. That's what the Orisha do. They're caring for us, you know, by imparting the wisdom. They're caring for us by accepting all that you said, all our hurts, all our pains, and in return they're replacing it with joy, with happiness, with togetherness, with meeting our needs, our daily needs, you know, because no one at all wants to be hungry. Nobody wants to be homeless. Nobody wants to be in ill health. You know, nobody wants to be in relationships that are volatile and explosive. Nobody wants these things. People really want to be harmonious, to live harmonious with each other, to have a balanced type of life with each other, where, you know, we give and we take, not take, or me, all the time. No one wants that. Everybody really deep down inside, you know, crave this settling of their spirit. And that's what the
mm-hmm.
Orisha, that's what the Orisha does. That's what the Orisha does. But it's a way to it, it's a way to approach it, and it's a way not to approach it. And this is what we have to learn. This is what we
Absolutely.
Have to learn. How do we approach, you know, the mother? You know, a simple thing. I have a very good example.
Mm-hmm.
People have their individual ancestral altars, okay? You may have your altar.
Mm-hmm.
And for your altar, you know the types of food that you may put there. Then we have also ritualistic foods that we know that we would put there based on this way of life that we practice, of course. But then you have the foods that, you know, your family members in your line, oh, grandma used to like this, grandpa used to like that, blah, 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 blah. So you put all these things there. If someone comes now and try to just go straight over to your ancestral altar and put something there, without asking permission, wouldn't you find that to be offensive?
They should ask. They
mm-hmm.
should ask. But, you know, sometimes it's interesting because sometimes people are drawn by spirit of a thing, and that those spirits that are around that might be pulling that person to the
mm-hmm.
altar to put in there. That's, you know, you got to be able to discern the difference. You know,
mm-hmm.
if it's by intent or just not knowing, but they're drawn to do so.
Yeah.
I think that
I wouldn't,
personally, I wouldn't get bent out of shape
mm-hmm.
about it, simply because I would ask somebody first if it's not my shrine.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just good manners, okay?
Yes.
And a protocol is that you want that person, that owner of that shrine, to pray with you to be joined in the prayer with your ancestors so
mm-hmm.
that you are asking them to help you, okay? So So it's like it's using a little discernment, and then the other side is just for those that are out there, is to, if you're doing that, then you want to have those persons join with you in prayer. So every time a priest comes to the door here, I have cola here, I have gin here, I have bitter cola, and before they can cross my throat, then I pray at, I have them pray at the door and do libation at the door so that their path here will be cool. And then I come in and they every shrine here, they pray with the Eshu, they pray with Jay and Ogun, they pray into the shrine room with Ifa. Okay? And with that, we all are in joint prayer so that the deities are present here. And our conversations will be productive, and we learn from each other as we have that prayer. When there's a ritual of washing the feet of an awo coming in the door, and you wash their feet with cola and money, okay, as they pass, because they, you want them to be, this to be a prosperous time for them. And then that after washing of the feet, the cola and the money is placed on top of Ifa. Okay? So that the Ifa of that house will bless that priest coming in the house. So then these are just, you know, some rituals that would help.
So a lot of it comes down to, you know, how people learn the different protocols of the house, you know, and things like that. You know, a lot of it boils down to all of this, learning the protocols, you know, the do's and don'ts and things that you should do. Because, like you say, that person could have been well-meaning or drawn to by the spirit themselves a certain thing. And they, you know, of course, if somebody's giving something, you don't think that they mean any harm. But sometimes it can come off as offensive, especially if you don't ask the question. If you don't ask a question, or if the person of the shrine is not aware, you know? It can be taken in a different way, especially, you know, if, you know, I've had people, you know, very, very drawn, even priests, other priests, you know, have come to my home and, you know, they see the Orisha and it's like they just go there automatically, you know, they just, they don't
the
ask
energy
to go
draws
there.
Them there.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and, you know, so you'd be looking like, okay, you know, but yes, So, you know,
that's why you can tell when someone is what spirit is on them when they come through to your shrine, because that's why I said discernment. We have discernment. We have psychic intuition, and we can see. You know, a lot of people, that's another thing that's very prominent on this year too, is that psychic intuition is heightened on us. And so we really, that's why worship is really important, because that hones your energy and keeps you from having it become abrasive and harmful.
Yeah, we have someone that raised their hand. Let's bring them in for a minute. Okay, 704-293, you're on True Talk with Ofe Ofe. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm good.
You sound so much like me.
I don't know, maybe coincidence?
Okay. You had a question?
Not really a question, but since you all are touching on so much topic about intuitions and knowing and being, a lot of people sometimes don't understand that it's not you, the person that is knowing, but it's the Orisha, is who is guiding you and telling you these things. a lot of people mistake and say, well, okay, why, how come you can't teach me how to do that? It's not something that is easily taught. You have to be in that spirit, in that frame of mind to be open to Orisha, for them to direct you. A lot of people will be closed-minded because of upbringing or what they have learned from other people or heard. So they don't understand why you could see these things and say these things and not them. So
and they want to learn. And they want to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that they don't, people, they wouldn't be able to naturally learn it, or are you saying that they don't understand why you can't, another person would not teach it to them?
Yes, both, because I have had people come, well, teach me that. I say, it's not that I don't want to teach you. It's me, myself. Yes, I know on one level, but yet still on the other level, it's just annoying. It's just a natural thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I do. It is. She's correct on that. It's a knowingness.
Yes.
But also, the two words that I had mentioned about prayer and meditation heightens that ability.
Yes.
So the deeper you are in meditation is the stronger. See, everybody has psychic intuition. Every human being does.
Mm-hmm.
Women particularly have a keen sense of awareness. And so it can be heightened by us practicing and even our chanting of a Reiki, our chanting of our own Odu, meditating with our specific Orisha. We have the ability in that meditation and quiet in our mind, quiet in our being, that it gives, the closer we get to a place of silence and we just hear spirit.
Yes.
Not our minds, spirit.
Sure.
That's when we get to that higher sense, and then we're able to see. So everybody can hear and see spirit, that we're born with that. We just have to heighten it.
I have had people tell me they don't dream. They do not dream at all.
They probably do. They don't remember.
Oh.
Everybody dreams. They just don't remember. It's really a matter of giving them some other outside tools to help clear their brain, clear their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
like
as we get them. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. The head, working with your head, with your Ori, is the main part, the main thing that you can do. You know? It's a must. It's a must. It's a must. And you know, I've had people, after getting, doing a ritual with their head, feeding their head and different things like that, say that, they get their energy goes from 100 and it goes down, almost to a state that it makes them want to go to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
So they feel
like,
but they're not really sleepy, but they feel like a euphoria and go into something
heightened
like
awareness.
A semi-hypnotic state.
Right. That's heightened
and
awareness.
Yes. So that feeling, I know, because I've felt it too. I've felt that, after getting head cleanings and everything, where you go from everything feel like, it actually feel like something lifts off of you, like a veil is just like, like something is gone. And
if you're feeding your head and you're doing it in an appropriate way, appropriate meaning that Ori is your greatest deity. So you should be approaching your Ori in prayer and in ritual in a magnificent and full way. Because you're meeting your deity. See, a lot of people don't believe that our Ori, our soul, our spirit, is the greatest God. But it is. And when we do it in ritual, we should always go to it with that wonderful, wonderful best dress on. I'm going to have a plate of cola, Four low cola, bitter cola. I'm going to have a little honey. I'm going to have either Oyin. I'm going to have a little Eo. I'm going to have palm oil and or shea butter. And if I have if I have to give in at some occasion, I may have to give my head a birth. And there's a system of prayers that are designed to chant and open my Ori up and allow it to flower as I feed it. So then when I do that, I'm not going out that night. I'm going to go to a place where it's solitude and peaceful, sweet sense. And enjoy the presence of God with me, the God within me, and commune with that, and ask for it to give me dreams and teach me in my sleep, and I ask it for my memory of that, okay? And that's when you begin on that process, on that road of development of your Ori. That's when you actually, you tie your head down because you're going to feed your head, your mouth, your belly button, and your big left toe. You're going to feed these because these, you're honoring your ancestors in that toe. The opening that your spirit comes in and out of is at your stomach, okay? You're going to feed through your mouth. Ogunda Meji teaches us that this is a bowl, okay, and that we're going to feed our heads. You want to get into a space of supreme, delicate speech, something that's going to be, I want enlightenment when I'm going into that space.
Yes,
because
you know, the
teach me about
people
how to
need
grow.
Understand that too. You know, the young people, because you know, you have to tell them, listen, when you do this, you know, you're not going out to party for the night. You're not going to, you know, get on the phone and stop blah 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 blah, blah, blah with a whole bunch of people. You're not going to get on the internet, you know.
You're
not going to get on the internet. Yes. Yes.
And
you want to
be it will give you insight. The thing about working with your Ori, it gives you insight and it heightens your intuition. You know, start knowing. It's a knowingness. And that's what it starts to teach you. So that you don't have to go into other dark places. It will tell you, no, you don't turn that corner, go this way. And you find out that you've avoided an accident. It heightens your awareness and gives you a sense of beingness outside of yourself. That's the power of Orisha. And that's the power of Orisha Ori.
Let's take a little short break. I may have to switch phones because my battery is going dead. And we will be right back with more True Talks with Ofe. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're back to Talk Little Phil Fair, and we have Iya Fayomi of Ile Wonsan Mimo Oromila Temple, and we have our guest who is on the line who brought up a very important point about your intuition, your Ori, and how you deal with Ori in prayer and meditation in order to honor your Ori, which is your greatest Orisha. Even in the group, we have the group on Facebook, Ifa Orisha Egun Talks. We have our icon photo says, Ori La Babo. It is Ori that needs to be worshipped. Tia Bafi Orisha Sile. And not the deities. In Tori, O Gunlo Ni Ojo Iponju. For chance are for the troubled days. Ori eni lo ni ojo bogbo. Only one's Ori stands by man every day. So it is your Ori, you know, and even though Orisha says so, you know, Oshun says so. Oshun is saying that, you know, eni yan kosi kosi mole, meaning it's human beings. If human beings do not exist, deities do not exist. So you have to take care of your first Ori first in order for you to take care of the other Orishas, in order for you to even want to relate to the other Orishas. Okay? So, you know, I'm a big proponent of Ori, you know, even Ori Icon too, which, you know, that's another show, because another episode, because there are a lot of people who feel that they don't need to have the Ori Icon if they have their own head. But, you know, there's a whole
lot. Not unless they got a lot of people shooting at it. So I said, not unless they got a lot of people shooting at their head, okay?
Really?
You need backup.
You need backup, right?
Yeah.
Yes, call down that divine head and say, listen here, come here with me now, because I need a twiz right about now. One invisible and one invisible.
Help. A person need a little, your child need a little help here.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, the relationship with Ori is very interesting because, you know, I like testifying. You know, I'm going to testify some more. I think this is the remnant of Christianity that I picked up, the testimony.
Yeah. Well, they actually have it. You know, they actually have it in Nigeria too. So don't worry, it's part of the process. Everybody testifies.
Okay. Yeah, I gotta testify, okay? Because Ori, receiving the Ori icon was something that made a critical turning point in my life. Okay, the minute I start worshiping with my Ori icon, or worshiping my own Ori with my Ori icon, everything went sky is the limit. It's like a whole nother me broke out onto the scene. I'm telling you, even with the group, even the inspiration with the group, Ifa Orisha Egun Talks, the different things that I'm doing with Orisha in the community, and, you know, even this radio program right here, all of this is a result of worshiping my Ori. All of it. You see? So, you know, yeah. And, of course, once your Ori is in agreement, the Orisha follows suit. The Orisha be like, oh, yeah, wow, okay, she ready now. Let's go.
Right, we got you.
You know? Yes, you know? So it's, you know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. I'm telling you, the whole thing, the whole process of worshiping. And, you know, it's interesting, you know. Sometimes I think, you know, that, you know, you might feel like you're tired. You might feel, you know, like you're overwhelmed, anything. Go and say a prayer to your Ori and see what happened after that. All the tiredness, all that stuff go like out the window. Like something else happens. Yeah, something else happens. It's like you get a burst of energy that really takes you to, you know, like, okay, yeah, okay, I thought I couldn't do all of this. Well, oh, boom, boom, bam. Next thing you know, it's done. You know? And just from humbling down, you know, and you know something, yeah, I want to say this too. When it comes to like doing the orikis, you know, doing the orins, the prayers, I think I like to sing. I like to sing, you know, the prayers instead of just speak them, right? But when I do that, there's this voice that, I mean, my voice totally changes into something else. And when that happens, you're on a roll then. This is how I feel it. Like, okay, you're on a roll. Something else done took over now. So you're on a roll.
Right.
You know, very similar to in the beginning when you prayed, it was magnificent. I felt it to the wire. And I'm sure many other people out there felt it as well. It was wonderful. Because he brought Oshun's energy.
That's truly yay, because you have to remember my name and Oshun is Oshun Tola. So that's, you know, that's a whole nother kind of energy that's separate from my Ifi energy, you know.
I
think that there's a thing about the movement and the lyricism of music that takes us to another height of our worship. You know, I think some of the, in the diaspora, you know, we have Orisha songs, but some of the Orisha songs that I have been most moved by have actually come from Trinidad, especially to Oshun. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, that, you know, they, absolutely. Because I have heard songs and have, you know, knew a couple of tunes, but that moved me in such a way, because what they're saying is, you know, they're begging Orisha to open up. And you know that when you sing this and it opens a little and a little and a little, and then all of a sudden it's just there. And you go with the energy of it. You go with it. You're not afraid. Mm-hmm. And you let it take you where you need to go. That's, you know, you can only get that when you are singing Oriki or you're singing that Iyiri, you know, that that speaks of the great heights of that Orisha. You know, that great height of that, you know, it's our praise. See, because that's where we get, you know, we get praise. We give praise to the Most High. We give praise to the Most High of Oludamari itself, God Almighty. We give praise to Oshun, Oshun Niwuji, Sablabade. That is our energy. You know, I feel her in every water, all the waters. You know, it's healing to me. You know, some of the best Ibori for the head I have done in the river, where I have washed the heads of God children and myself, and sing to Orisha, and then put the ashes on my head, put the ashes on the God children's head, and let them, you know, and watch all the spirits that walk with them. You know, and be so happy. You know, you're so happy that now you know this person's life is going to be right on path, and there is going to be a dynamic change I've been at the river, you know.
Yes, it's a wonderful
thing. Singing to Ori and Oshun at the river, you know, and watching the winds come and touch down on the river. You know that spirit is there. That person's life is going to change. And that's the healing. That's what we do. That's the psychic intuition.
Yeah. You know, in Badijo's book, just to touch a little further on what you are saying, in it says that in Yoruba cosmological thought, Orisha, divinities, and Enyan, human beings, are mirror images of each other. Aside from the major Orisha Iromole, who participated in the organization of the world, other divinities who become ineffective are replaceable. These correlating concepts place Orisha in juxtaposed positions to Enyan and seem to underscore the belief that the Ashe of the Orisha exists solely to benefit Enyan, human beings. So when you just talk about in the praise songs they're begging until next thing you know, boom, hey, they're there, you know. I'm like,
absolutely.
Oh boys, yes, you know. So it's the most beautiful thing ever, I'm telling you, you know. So, you know, Oshun is the mother, the good mother, and she demands homage. She demands respect and supplication if her powers are to be placated and assessed, you know, if she is supposed to show you what she's made of.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And she does. She does. That's the thing that I know. Is that no matter what, and this year, you know, that, I had to, recently I had to do specific work with her. And my heart was, you know, it's like breaking. And I remember, you know, sitting there, bowing there, and praying and doing their bow, and feeling the impact of that energy hit my heart, and it no longer was breaking as in breaking into, but breaking open for me to heal. It's just like a sheer penetrating light touches you and says, I have this. Yeah, and that, you know, you do that, and that's what I did. And I found that no matter what I thought the problem was, I walked away from that shrine knowing that I no longer had a problem.
That's why, yes.
And, you know, if we don't do anything this year, you know, I would hope and pray that women, men, children start to recognize how important this birthing energy of Oshun is to us all as human beings.
That we
take an opportunity to take the lessons that, you know, she's high intelligence. Take those lessons from her and follow her wisdom. Follow her love, because that's another aspect. You know, people have such a hard time saying that they love someone, that they love another human being.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes that's all you can go to the door with is the love that you have in your heart. And that is something that we should learn, is that we're not here to do anything other than to be of service. What is my purpose here? Why am I here on earth other than to serve Oludamara and to be of service to the other human beings?
Ashe.
I think that's what we should be learning.
Well, that is a very good point for us to end our discussion. A very great and outstanding message here, Fayomi. I would like you, because we only have a few more minutes, and I would like you to tell us, tell our listening audience, you know, how, you know, we can contact you and, you know, what, you know, a little bit of what you offer, you know, to people that are coming into this way of life.
We are the Le Wan Song of Rumi Lamimo Temple, located in Phoenix, Arizona. 623-849-7179 or 623-229-9198. What we offer are healing services. We do dafa, we do all elbows, we make medicines here, but it's a healing service. I'm also the Yabie Wobaye Vilefe and Yeye Agbomola of the Copajito Court. So we provide services of healing for people here at Ile Wan Song. We teach here. We have lessons online. We have a web page at the name of the temple, Ile Wan Song, RumiLamimoTemple.com, and there are lessons on our website that people, all you got to do is just click into it, and they'll see the everything that we do, which also includes lessons that can be, you know, gathered and more information about Orisha, because I try to make sure that we are ever transparent on trying to bring Ifa, good Ifa, into the world community, not just here in the diaspora, but in the world, and that we actually are walking that light.
Well, for I thank you very much, yeah, as usual, you know, when you grace the program with your insight and your smooth character, I love it. I love it, you know.
I love you too.
Yes, Ashe is love all the way around. You know, because, you know, anytime we showing up in the mix of it, and everybody got to feel really happy inside, and I'm feeling very tingly kind of happy right now. You know, I'm feeling that tingly. I'm feeling that tingly happy. And, you know, half the time, people accuse me of using drugs, and I don't. I don't drink. I don't smoke, right? But, you know, I'm always looking like I'm high or something.
That is the heightened reality of the Orisha on you. That's
And I'll be acting like I'm high half the time, too. You know, I'll be like, okay, you know. You know, so, and I like it when I feel like this, you know. You know, I really love it, like, feeling this way. It's a very beautiful feeling. And, you know, and it comes along with the different faces I make during the course of the day. I just make a bunch of different faces. But anyway, you know, the children remind me of that. But so this is Ofe Ofe, and, of course, our program is Ifa Orisha Egun Talks, which is the same name of our secret group on Facebook. Ifa Orisha Egun Talks, where you can inbox me, O-F-A-E, and let me know if you're interested in joining the group. I will surely invite you in. And also, we have our open group, which is called Ifa Orisha Egun People Worldwide. And the focus of that particular group is for people to post there what they are doing on a personal level, community level, national level, in their Ifa Orisha Egun community worldwide. Okay, so anybody, you know, from any part of the world can post, you know, ask to join that group, post in that group, and we just connect with each other in that way. The Ifa Orisha Egun Talk group is very political. We have some very touchy subjects that we bring out. in terms of correcting discrepancies within our beautiful and wonderful religion, our wonderful way of life. I don't too much like to call it a religion, but it is, in fact, a religion because we're reliving what our ancestors have put on the plate for us. So these are ways that you can contact me. My number is 828-316-8379. And, of course, you know, I do spiritual readings for people, mostly egon-based, so people can understand. It's not an Ifa reading. If you want an Ifa reading, then you contact Iyafoyomi, okay? Contact Iyafoyomi, because I can't leave my egons out. They just jumping in it, even if I don't want them to. They jumping in it. Yeah, they just jumping in and tell it all. They spill the beans. Anyway... So yes, you know, so if you're looking, you know, if you, and I do most times, sometimes I recommend people to have Ifa readings done, especially if they get a reading with me and Egg will see that they do need to go, the problem lies with Ifa, they're directed to go to Ifa for the reading instead, so, or for an additional reading and work and spiritual work done through Ifa. So, so we have this program, Two Talks with Ofe, that is going on. If we're looking for sponsors for our program so we can do some more things, like bring on the teaching program that I want to entice Iyafoyomi to do for us. And, of course, to bring other scholars and other learned people in Ifa on for the benefit of the people, all people that are coming in, for the young ones, for even for us, elders and those of us who are untrained. So we want to get in more training, more lessons as we go along, because these lessons, like the one that we had today with Oshun, that will help us to move along. Please don't forget that you can also call in to list your Ile. You can list your Ile by sending an email to Ifa Orisha Diaspora Resource. Ifa Orisha Diaspora Resource.
Resources.
That's with an S at gmail.com. And that's Orisha spelled with the H. O-R-I-S-H-A. So you have I-F-A. O-R-I-S-H-A, the word diaspora, resources, at gmail.com. Okay? So we can start a database. So that we can start a database for collecting information for those of us that need services and are willing to give services as well. Okay? So for the rest of the evening, I'd like to say odabo to our audience. Thank you, listeners, and for those who called in and had a very great insight. Thank you very much. As usual, we encourage our listeners to call in, ask questions, and things that you're not clear about. You call in, you ask questions, and we go from there. Ashe. In the meantime, let's listen to a little bit of music. Ashe Odabo.
Odabo.
And we're going to play for you a tune that I call Black Man's Cry.
One, two, three.
Thank you.